It's The Record on KUOW. Jeannie Yandel, I'm Ross Reynolds. Today, for the first time, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down some limits on direct campaign contributions. The decision was split 5-4, with the conservative justices voting to strike down the limits. The majority decision said the limits were a violation of the First Amendment. For more on what this decision means, we turn to Marcia Coyle. Marcia is chief Washington correspondent for the National Law Review, covering the U.S. Supreme Court and legal issues, and she joins us from the other Washington. Marcia, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure, Ross.
This Supreme Court decision strikes down limits on some direct campaign contribution limits. Which limits were struck down and which limits are still in place after the decision?
This had to do with contributions by individuals to candidates and political parties and political committees. There are really two types of limits under the federal law. What was at issue in the court today was the cap, the total amount that an individual can contribute during a two-year election cycle. There are also what we call base limits, and that's what you or I can contribute directly in an election. Those still remain. The court did not touch the base limits. It was the cap that the court was concerned about.
Why did the Supreme Court majority think that limits on campaign contributions were a violation of the First Amendment?
Well, here's how it played out. The government defended the total amount that you can limit in a two-year election cycle by saying that that cap, which has been in place since 1976 and was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1976, was necessary to prevent circumvention of the base limits that are on your contributions in one particular election year. And that serves a very important government interest. That interest is to prevent corruption or its appearance. But Chief Justice Roberts, who wrote the opinion for today, said, well, okay, well, let's look at how base limits can be circumvented if you don't have the total cap. And he walked through the government's scenarios of how that can happen today, and he concluded that they were either already, those scenarios were either already illegal under current law or, as he said, divorced from reality. And if they really don't prevent circumvention of the base limits, he said, then all those caps simply do is to limit the amount of money in campaigns. And that is not allowed under the First Amendment. That is limiting core political speech, which the First Amendment protects. He also said that the regulation of campaign finance has really changed since 1976. He said there are in place today anti-circumvention measures, as well as a very intricate regulatory scheme enacted by the Federal Election Commission. So in the end, he felt that, and his conservative colleagues felt that that total cap in the law did not serve the government's interest in preventing corruption or the appearance of corruption.
Marcia Coyle, it's interesting to me that those who overturned these campaign finance limits cited the First Amendment. And Justice Stephen Breyer, who is against throwing out these limits, called it a blow to the First Amendment and to American democracy. What was the gist of that argument?
But this is the heart of a long-standing divide on the court, and we saw it in Citizens United in 2010. Justice Breyer said, look, the majority today is reading or defining corruption too narrowly. In Citizens United, the majority there said that corruption was akin to quid pro quo corruption, in reality, you know, a bribe, and that even an individual who spends a large sum of money with the possibility that that spending may garner influence over or access to an elected official, that doesn't give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption. But Justice Breyer said there's really a broader interest here, and that's the public interest in the integrity of our public institutions. And he said that when money calls the tune, the general public will not be heard. And so one of the reasons, or really the one reason why the court has stressed the importance of Congress's concern that a few large donations not drown out the voices of the many is really another interest, an equal interest under the First Amendment. He said that the public should see these regulations as seeking in significant part to strengthen rather than weaken the First Amendment. So, Ralph, that's really at the heart of the divide of the court. And we've seen it ever since Chief Justice Roberts became justice in 2005. This is a continuation of a trend on the court to strike down federal regulations of money and campaigns.
Well, it's a legal issue, and it's also a political issue, coming as it does just as the midterm election campaigns gear up.
Yes.
How do observers say this might influence the midterm congressional elections? Is the decision apt to favor one party over the other?
Well, I think it's going to favor individuals who can contribute large sums of money. And as we've seen in prior elections, that is generally a small group of very, very wealthy people. And we've seen how their donations to independent spending groups, for example, gave rise to the super PACs we have. So I think the fear is, as Justice Breyer said, Citizens United opened a door to more money, and he feared that today's decision would open a floodgate. We're going to have to wait and see, but the total cap on the amount that you can that individuals can contribute directly to candidates and political committees is now gone.
Mm. Marcia Coyle, thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure, Ross.
Marcia Coyle, Chief Washington Correspondent for the National Law Review, covering the U.S. Supreme Court and legal issues, joining us from Washington, D.C. Marcia Coyle is also the author of the book, The Roberts Court. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.